Hello, and welcome to AP Table Talk, a podcast where we explore board games and what makes them interesting to us. We are your hosts, Brian.
And I'm Dave. And this is our very first episode of AP Table Talk. Brian and I are co-designers, we're cousins, and we're here to talk about board game mechanics. And this is our first episode. Everyone's got to start somewhere. Bri, you want to tell them about what board game mechanic we're going to cover in this first episode?
Okay, so for our inaugural episode, we will be covering grid coverage is our first one. And I thought to start it off in my kind of just thought about what that mechanic means to me. And basically, I think of it as a mechanic where you're placing pieces, whether they be tokens or polyominoes, or whatever it is, in order to cover up the board, being your main goal is to cover the board.
Mm. And the definition that I was able to pull off of Board Game Geek is grid coverage is a family of mechanisms in which players cover a grid or fill a space using a variety of shapes, like with components such as polyominoes, like you said before, Brian. Mm-hmm. This is sometimes called a quote-unquote Tetris mechanism that challenges players to use shapes efficiently. Games that use a single piece type to construct or enclose areas of control, especially when in competition over common spaces, they utilize a different mechanic called enclosure. So for this episode, we're going to specifically be talking about grid coverage and not enclosure. Okay. So there's a bunch of games that use this already, Brian. What are some games on your list?
So I think the first one that immediately comes to mind is Patchwork. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of the whole game. It's just covering that quilt with patches. Mm-hmm. Some other ones that we've played recently, I know we've been playing Castles of Burgundy.
Yep,
I would consider that grid coverage. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to the Isle of Cats on Board Game Arena as well. Mm-hmm. One that I know you like, mm-hmm, that you introduced me to a while ago, Sagrada. Mm-hmm. And we just played My City. Recently, we're in the middle of our legacy game of that as well.
Yeah, Board Game Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the games that I've played that use board coverage as well, again, similar to a lot of the games that you listed, is Blokus. I feel like that fits in that textbook definition because it has those polyominoes. Same thing with Copenhagen, which I've been playing a lot on Board Game Arena as well, uses polyominoes as well. A game on my list that I had gotten recently off of Kickstarter, Cultivate, is similar to Sagrada in that you are covering grid components, but in Cultivate, you're using meeples, and Sagrada, you're using specific dice in a pattern. One of my favorite designers, Phil Walker Harding, also designed a game called Silver and Gold. And in that case, it is combines like a flip and write with grid coverage because you're also drawing over different areas of a card on a grid. A game from my game group that is a big favorite is Tiny Towns. So that's another, I would say, flip and placing different cubes on a grid. A game I played at this latest PAX Unplugged was called Tribes of the Wind, in which you're covering grid spaces there as well. And another latest Kickstarter addition to my collection is Vivid Memories, where you're actually using diamond-shaped components to cover up the grid. So those are some major examples of grid coverage. Bri, we're going to be talking about likes and dislikes, but we're going to set this up in a specific way. So you want to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah. Actually, I think you came up with this idea. So we figure in stereotypical board game fashion, we will roll D20s mm-hmm. for initiative and talk about kind of the things that we like and dislike in games that use grid coverage.
All right.
So sounds good.
On the count of three, we'll both roll our D20, sure. And whoever rolls highest is going to have initiative and we'll go first. So ready
right,
when you
I'm
are.
Ready. All right, roll.
All right, I have 17.
I got 10.
All right, so I have initiative. I will roll. I will go first. So I'm going to talk about some of grid coverage's likes. I got three specific ones that I really like about this mechanic. One of them, I think, is that it is a strong core loop and has a very good visual reaction in that whenever I'm playing and it's a grid coverage game and I'm able to cover something or just get a piece to fit. I know this happens a lot right now in my city. It's like, oh, I really hope that T-shape fits or comes up because I really need it to go in a specific spot right now. So once you get that spot covered, I think that's a really great visceral reaction. The second thing I really like about grid coverage is that it's a spatial and visual puzzle. So I would say this is more for games that have those polyominoes. I'm talking about My City, talking about Patchwork and Blokus and Copenhagen, where you need just the right piece to fit in that right spot, I think is a really cool and visceral aspect to playing with this grid coverage mechanic. And I'd say that my last like specifically about grid coverage is the way that it's implemented. So part of the BGG definition was talking about using polyominoes. And for the most part, those happen to be in squares, but you can also use different shapes. They can be squares. They can be hexes, kind of like with Castles of Burgundy. They can be pentagons. They can be whatever shape you want. There's lots of different ways to play with these different shapes for grid coverage. You can have those shapes all connect. You can have them all individually set up. But the way that it's set up, I think, provides a lot of interesting combinations from the board overall. So those are my three top likes for grid coverage. How about you, Bri?
Yeah, I think actually stated slightly different, but I think ours have a lot of overlap here. The number one thing to me reminds me of Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
That same feeling you were talking about of just, hey, is that, I need that four line piece so I can get that Tetris.
Yeah.
I feel like you get that same feeling in a lot of these games.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're trying to hope, you're hoping that piece that you need comes up. And again, another one very similar to what you talked about. I do find playing the game has a visual appeal to it. Trying to get those pieces to fit nicely, mm-hmm. and you almost get visual feedback when you miss a spot, and mm-hmm. that if you have any sort of ADD tendencies or OCD tendencies, it's gonna bug you.
Yeah, definitely.
I just overall just enjoy kind of that packing efficiency. My wife Violet, you know, will leave the packing on a trip to me because I like to see the efficiency of getting those bags into that trunk.
Or I would say like the opposite for me in our game of My City is, why did I choose to put a tree there? Because now I can't drop that T-shaped or that S-shape in there. And it's just, it's so aggravating.
Yeah, I actually, I've been enjoying that kind of legacy mode for My City, and having that board just change a little bit each round, and you kind of live with those consequences, which is interesting. I mean, I know that's true to all the legacy games, mm-hmm. but interesting for you kind of know how you play with those same pieces each time,
mm-hmm.
but you kind of have, but you don't really know how they're going to change up the game for you. So yeah. I do find that interesting, sticking new rocks on, new trees on, getting new pieces or whatever into your kind of bundle of pieces that you pull.
Exactly. All right. So now that we've covered likes, should we roll for initiative for dislikes?
Sure.
All right. So I'm ready to roll when you are.
Okay. I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, roll. Ah, I whiffed. I got a 4.
Oh, I got 13. Okay.
Brian, you lead.
So I really only have one major dislike in terms of, board game design, is that for some people and for some games, I find that it can be a little bit too luck dependent.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no way to mitigate the randomness of the pieces that come up, a lot of the games that I consider better games will have ways to maybe wipe a market, things like that. But again, depending on the game, that would be one thing that I would say I would dislike from this mechanic in some games.
Mm. I have three of them, but they're not overly big dislikes. I would say number one is more of a component dislike than anything else, particularly if you're playing a game where it's grid coverage, but it's individual uniform components. So they can be jostled off the board really easily. Like you could kind of see this with Patchwork, but if you're building your quilt really well, then it should be a solid piece. However, like with a game like Sagrada, if it didn't have those dual layer boards, you could very easily shuffle those dice off of the correct spots. So that's one of my main dislikes. The second one is that some people, and I'm not one of them, could interpret this mechanic as being simplistic without a lot of meaty decisions. I think that our game of Castles of Burgundy kind of solves that a little bit, in that you know, when you roll those dice, that gives you optimal placement, but getting those workers allows you to mitigate that dice roll a little bit, which I think is okay. So right. I think that your interpretation of simplistic to meaty decision as an individual player could be valid or not valid, I guess, depending on the game that you're examining. And then my last dislike would be that it could potentially be used as a side mechanic in a game with other main mechanics going on. Again, that's not necessarily a bad thing. There's plenty of modern Euro games available that use a collection of different mechanics, and grid coverage could just be one of them, but isn't, I would say, like the main mechanic of the game. But it is, you know, sometimes could be sidelined, and some people could see that as a more interesting part of the game that is not the actual objective main mechanic of the game. So those are really my my three only dislikes so far.
Yeah, and I would agree. The seem rather minor. I mean, overall, I think we both kind of like this mechanic. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's been, there's definitely been different ways it's been implemented, which kind of brings us to our next talking point here, mm-hmm. and it's kind of twists and variations of this mechanic as well.
Yeah. So I think we got to roll again for initiative to see who's going to go first. So I'm ready when you are.
Reach Brian. My die here. I am ready. All Let's right. roll.
3, 2, 1, roll. Whiffed again. Got I got 9. A 2.
Oh, okay.
All well, right, you lead.
So, okay. So, one thing that we've mentioned already is variations in the type of grid that you're covering, whether that's the shape of the grid, hexes, squares, triangles, whatever they are, or the shape of the grid, or shape of the pieces, or types of pieces that cover them, if they're single cell pieces that cover, or polyominoes and whatnot. You want to go ahead and do the next one?
Sure. So for me, I think that, like we said before with My City, I think this legacy component is an interesting application of it for to cover or not to cover. Like for me, since we're playing this very first campaign, I don't know where are the best places to put these trees. I just know I have to put them down somewhere. So I think using that as a legacy component going into the future could be an interesting application.
Yeah. One twist that I've in a game I've been playing, I just got introduced to My Shelfie, which has kind of an enforced fill order where you have to fill the pieces. You drop the pieces in kind of like Connect Four. So you have to fill them columns in order from bottom to top. So it's kind of like you're forced into the order that you need to put those pieces in.
And My Shelfie, that's that meta game, right? About collecting and shelving board and, games.
No, it's not specifically board games, but you could definitely, it does look like a Calyx shelf that you're filling. So
I'd say that another twist, and I don't know, this might be pushing the edges of what we define as the mechanic right now, but I played a game called Miyabi by Haba, in which there's grid coverage, but it extends upwards, meaning that you're actually laying components on top of each other. And some of those components have icons, but some of them don't. I think that a lot of the games we talked about at the very beginning were using a component to cover up a icon or some other feature on a specific board, but not necessarily building up from those components. But, you know, more games that use that ability would be a welcome addition, I think, to see this mechanic in action.
Yeah. Okay. The last one I have here for kind of a variation or a twist is you could be playing or filling your grid on a shared board, or you could each have your individual boards. So, I mean, we've named a lot where you have your individual boards, like my city, for example. We have our own cities to build. But Castles of Burgundy, we are kind of filling the same board,
a shared board. That kind of reminds me of, did you ever play Teotihuacan?
I think we played it. I feel like we did.
I don't know. I have to look in the log to see if we did play it. But yeah. You reminded me just now of building on a shared board because of the pyramid in Teotihuacan.
Right.
Where
right.
that is a common component for all players to build upon. So you could see it there as well.
And actually that one specifically makes me think, because when I was kind of looking at this mechanic for the episode, there was a little bit of overlap with grid coverage and pattern building mechanic. So, because I was thinking of Cascadia, Which was interesting because not only are you covering the grid, but you're building the grid out as you draft. Mm-hmm. But I actually feel like that game probably falls more under pattern building because your goal isn't really to cover all your spaces. It's to form those patterns for your scoring.
Yeah. And I'd even say that for Cascadia, it's true. You are building out the grid as you go along. The coverage component comes into play with the different animals that you could play on top of it, which is a way to score points, but not the only way to score points. Right. So I'd say that I wouldn't classify Cascadia as a grid coverage game, but it certainly does have grid coverage in it. I agree.
Yeah, it just made me think of kind of a lot of the games I thought of sometimes could fall under pattern building as opposed to grid coverage. Mm-hmm. So I could see some crossover there.
Yeah.
Azul, for example, you do score based on almost kind of pattern, like specific locations for your pieces. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you do want to cover that. If you can, you want to cover your entire board.
Right, right. Yep, that's another example of grid coverage. But as a knee-jerk reaction, I wouldn't say I would think of Azul as a grid coverage.
Yeah, it's not the one I would think of as grid coverage primarily.
Right. I had two more twists and variations to discuss, and they both have to do with 3D components. One game I just got as a Kickstarter, but I've yet to get on the table, is called Block and Key, where you're actually stacking 3D cubes on top of each other, not necessarily grid coverage unless you are stacking on top of existing blocks. But again, I think that's pushing the envelope of what we are defining right now as grid coverage.
Right.
And then another game, which we definitely did play together, in which I definitely got trounced by you, is The Climbers. Do you remember that game?
I remember that game, but I also, I think I did win, but I think we agreed that maybe we didn't understand the rules properly.
I just remember it was very tough for me. Like, I got into a situation where I just could not advance, and I think you were leading, or you had initiative as first player, and because you had that, you could always deny me spots on that tower.
I mean, from our experience playing together, that's my MO in games is action denial. Mm-hmm. So when I saw the rules for that, I was like, okay, well, I can just make it so you can't play, which is why I felt that we must have been doing something wrong, because a lot of people did like that game.
Yeah.
And I feel like if that was had a major fault in it like that, then we must have missed something.
Yeah, no, but I don't know, with like a 3D element where you're actually building up, if that necessarily is grid coverage. But we did talk about Teotihuacan, and in that pyramid, you are building up, covering specific icons. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see a redefinition.
Yeah, you know, there is another game that comes to mind. I forget the name, but you introduced it to me at one of the PAXs. We were playing near closing time, where you're trying to have your pieces on the top. You're building in a small cube. I think it was red and black pieces.
It was Convert.
That was the game. Convert. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah. Which is kind of the same idea. Mm-hmm. You're building up, and you're trying to cover up the other pieces to have kind of more of your color showing.
Right. And I think that speaks directly to you, Brad, because I think I remember reading the designer's notes about that game and how they actually worked at either UPS or FedEx, and that was their thing. They like to pack the truck and to get as much space used up as possible. So that is definitely a optimization puzzle if I saw one before.
I agree. So evolution of the... Sorry, did you have any more for twists and variations?
That's all I had for twists and variations and evolution.
Oh, okay. So I do have just more some talking points here for kind of the evolution. So since I've got some notes here, maybe I'll form it as a question here. What can you think of as the earliest game that you can think of with this, the grid coverage, mechanic? And this may be up for debate, so we can see what you think.
So this is earliest game that had that mechanic, or earliest game
board game?
Oh, I'd say
that you think has that mechanic.
I don't know. I'd be hard pressed like now that I'm thinking about classic games, I guess Scrabble is a grid coverage game. I would even say it's an area control game that you play with letters.
Yeah, I'd say it falls closer to an area control. Mm-hmm. So the first one that my knee-jerk reaction was actually Blockus, which you mentioned in your major examples. And that was released in 2000, which isn't that early, mm-hmm. even for board games. Mm-hmm. And there's actually another one, when I looked it up on BGG, that also came out in 2000. I couldn't find months that they were released. So these will be tied on BGG, mm-hmm. was The Princes of Florence, which I had never heard of. Mm-hmm. So those two came out in 2000, mm-hmm. which actually had the tag on it, but it got me thinking. And what would you consider Battleship to be a grid coverage game?
Let's see. So Battleship, I would say it is a... I'd say that the main mechanic is deduction. I don't know if we're going to cover that because we are trying to find and sink each other's opponent chips. It's very much a game about contention, so it's a war game.
Yeah.
Grid coverage, though, based on what we've discussed so far, I would say no, because the main objective is not to cover every single grid element. The main objective is to cover the grid elements that have your opponent chips on.
Right, I agree. Yeah. But it did make me think, because I mean, you know, you get into that classic situation where you just start doing every second space until
then you find out that all my chips are on the edges.
So I mean, that would have been 1931, mm-hmm. Which was earlier than I thought, because I always think of that copy in the 60s with the kind of the meme cover with the son and the father playing Battleship, mm-hmm. and the wife in the background in the kitchen washing dishes.
Yep.
Very 60s mm-hmm. cover there. Mm-hmm. not a board game, but Tetris was 1984, mm-hmm. which does bring a lot of grid coverage. How about Othello? I kind of thought of that one as grid coverage.
Othello, let's see. If... you kind of have to remind me of some of the mechanics of Othello.
You can never remove pieces.
Okay.
All you're doing is you're always placing a new piece and then flipping any enclosed pieces to your color.
I see.
But so you're always continuing, and the game ends when the board is filled.
Mm. Yeah, then I would... and then you score based on the number of pieces in your color.
Yeah. Okay. Now, obviously, it's also area control. Mm-hmm. Because you are kind of filling up the board, again, the goal is not to fill up the board, mm-hmm. if that's the key part of the definition we're holding to,
yeah,
then I guess it's not grid coverage, but I do think that it definitely is in the family.
Yeah, I would say so. I guess if it's Othello we're considering, then you would also have to consider Go grid coverage.
So yeah, that was the next mm-hmm. the next step was Go, because Othello is 1883, mm-hmm. and then Go is, I mean, I don't
BC
know,
what, sometime.
2000 BC or something like that.
Yeah.
But again, I almost feel like Go is more area control.
Yeah.
But even though they're very similar, it just strikes me more as area control. Mm-hmm. But that could just be my own bias there.
I mean, I don't think it's wrong. I think you could say that grid coverage is a way for you to get area control, right? That is one of the main mechanics that you're using to cover.
And again, I guess it really goes on how you're defining, mm-hmm. how specific you're defining it.
Right.
And then more of an out-of-the-box example that I was thinking of, going back to our promo discussion about our first time kind of getting into board games, do you consider Risk to be an area grid coverage?
I would say... I feel like in order for it to be grid coverage, it has to be some regular repeating pattern. And for Risk, we don't have that. So I would say no.
Yeah. You're covering the board, but and I think that's probably what makes it feel like it leans more towards area control mm-hmm. over grid coverage. Mm-hmm. But conceptually, if you took all those places and turned them into squares, you could see it as
interpretative risk.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Then, yeah,
you lived maybe, in square world.
Yeah, I guess
where all your lands were squares.
Oh, it's like Risk just got transported to Minecraft world and everything's in block form.
There you go. Yeah. Or those procedural computer algorithms, the life things where each color represents a different type of life form, mm-hmm. and you just watch it evolve.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess if we were to interpret it that way, you could see Risk being a grid coverage game if it was reinterpreted as a grid.
Yeah, I think everything except for the fact that there's no grid does lead toward grid coverage, because your goal is to take over everything. Right. So yeah, that's what I had for kind of evolution examples. Okay, well, I think that wraps up our grid coverage episode of AP Table Talk, also our first episode. If you'd like to hear more content like this, please be sure to subscribe. You can also check out more of our content, projects, and other information about us at universityxp.com.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We'd also love it if you took some time to rate this show. So we live to lift others with learning. So if you have found this episode useful, consider sharing it with someone who could also benefit. Until next time, game on.